This portion of the show is brought to you by ZeroResNorthernArizona.com.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
This governor in New Mexico drives me absolutely insane. Rob Wills, I had to bring Rob in today because we got a slew of Second Amendment things to hit on, at least during the first hour of the show here. Rob, this Governor Grisham, I mean, she's violating the U.S. Constitution.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah, the Constitution that she took an oath to uphold and defend, she's choosing intentionally, knowingly to violate and admitting it.
She knows it.
Yeah. When I saw this Saturday morning, I thought for sure I was reading The Onion.
This
can't be real. No governor would be dumb enough to make this kind of a proclamation.
Well, okay, and just if you've been living under a rock, which, I mean, sometimes...
Most of us would like to.
Well, yes, there's benefits to doing it at this point. I mean, she comes out Friday. You do this stuff on a Friday when you don't want too much attention, but this is going to get such attention. So she comes out and basically says you can't carry concealed or carry...
Or open carry
in Albuquerque in that county, whatever that county is.
In the surrounding county,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's been a spate of gun violence issues?
Well, actually, when you look at the stats, this year is down some from last year, so it hasn't been that terrible. I mean, all of them are tragic, but she invoked an emergency health order to do this. She said it's a health crisis and gives her the authority under this emergency powers to do anything she wants. And yet I hate to be right about something like this, but back when all of the elected officials were definitely taking advantage of their powers during COVID, I kept saying, hey, now we see what they will do. We need to get this under control. We need to rein it in because it's going to get bad.
Yeah, you and I and many others, but not enough, have been screaming that. This is how they do it. They realize that the mayors and the governors and the county board of supervisors around the country have learned that they can do things under an emergency act. They've learned that they can do things, especially under, this is a health emergency, because that's what they did in COVID. Remember, we had letters going out during COVID from mayors in northern Arizona saying, well, we should have travel restrictions.
Sure.
Or you need to wear a mask. That mayor down in Cottonwood, Alinsky. The council said no masks, and he went, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. I'm going to do a mask mandate anyway. So they've learned that they can do this.
Unilaterally.
And he's still in office, by the way. There's a recall against him,
right?
Fortunately. So that's a good thing. That guy needs to move on. But okay, so the health emergency being that there's been some, I saw there was somebody's home was broken into. That was one of the cases they cited. How does this change that other than, you might not have a firearm to protect yourself in that home.
That's the ultimate irony of this, is the logic is fatally flawed from the beginning.
Yeah.
What she's doing is saying there's too much gun violence in Albuquerque. So what I'm going to do is disarm all the law-abiding citizens. At the same time that they have the revolving door catch and release programs, and they have a police department that's been decimated because of funding issues, they're saying, the solution to reduce gun violence would be to disarm law-abiding citizens.
It's just crazy. Okay, but she said, hey, expect legal challenges. It's a 30-day order, which there's been a lot of speculation about why she is doing that, because perhaps it won't even get to a court hearing in that time for it period. I hope that no matter what, they bring it forward so that way precedent is set and you can bring this up. Let me ask you this, Rob. Do states have the right to regulate anything when it comes to how do they regulate firearms? Let's start with that, because every state does have different rules and regulations, correct?
Correct.
Okay, but did she cross the line by saying you just can't carry at all?
Yes, especially considering the most recent Supreme Court decisions. In the Heller decision, Heller was the one that said, hey, we all have a right to be able to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And they can't say you have to prove you have a need. They have to prove that you don't qualify or whatever. And in the case of a felon, someone mentally ill, those kinds of things. So the requirement to prove a need has been eliminated. And therefore, it's automatically granted and guaranteed in the Constitution. You know, the fundamental rights, the inalienable right to self-defense. What can be more
clear?
What can be more basic,
yeah,
basic than your ability to defend yourself?
Yeah. Okay, so that case you're referring to, I remember there were certain cities like Chicago and New York or whatever, they made it so difficult to get a carry concealed
right.
that it was basically impossible unless you just had all the right connections and a ton of money and this and that, right?
Exactly.
So that basically made it so you can't do this anymore. You're not checking your gun at the city border, like
right,
like back in
city limits,
yeah, like back in the old westerns or something, right? So everybody has a right to defend themselves and to be able to defend themselves. But she's saying here basically, oh, we've had this is I'll use my words, an epidemic here, a health emergency of crime and gun violence, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So I'm stepping in as the governor, and this is gonna stop it. Was there some kind of deal made with Biden or something, you think, to try to take attention away from
all the ugliness going on?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It's just my speculation what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, and let's look at the bigger picture here. Think of the position now this puts the sheriff's deputies and the city police in. The sheriff of the county has said his guys aren't going to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
The chief of police has been very carefully, he's released a couple of really carefully worded statements and basically said, no, I'm not going to either, which leaves the state police that work for her.
Yeah, direct control there.
As the only people that can enforce this law.
Yeah.
Imagine if you, your wife, your son, daughter, whomever, is in downtown Albuquerque like they are every day working, when they normally would be carrying a firearm for personal defense. They're attacked and killed because they chose not to carry that firearm because they complied with that governor's emergency order. 30 days there, it's ruled unconstitutional that she violated the Constitution by enacting that law. What's the consequence to her?
There's never any consequence to these
people. None whatsoever. There's none.
Absolutely. They're always shielded from this stuff.
She knows she's breaking the law.
She swore an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Well, and she went further than that. She, in a press conference on Saturday, a reporter said, aren't you violating your oath here by violating the Constitution? She said, neither my oath nor the Constitution are absolute.
So... Okay,
mind blowing.
Like those are words that are in your brain that like you think it wouldn't have come out of her mouth.
How does someone
that's what she thinks though?
Absolutely. Huh. As long as she's doing what's right in her mind,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what she swore as an oath.
This is Rob. This is getting away from the Constitution. We're a nation of laws, and it's getting back to the law of man. Who's ever, or woman in this case, whoever is in power, is this the old days of kings that just do whatever they want? The law is what I say the law is today.
Right.
And that's the problem with our country now, is the Constitution more and more just becomes some piece of paper that's sitting there that people aren't enforcing. I fully expect this to go to court. I think there's already been a group.
There's two or three lawsuits already.
Lawsuits, which is good. But the problem is, as we saw with the bump stock ban, and then there was another one recently that finally got overturned. One Trump did, one Biden did. But it takes a couple years for this to go through the process.
Oh, sure.
And then in the meantime, like you said, maybe you weren't able to defend yourself. Maybe you got rid of, in the case of bump stocks, they got rid of those. The companies went out of business.
Yep.
Do they have recourse? No.
No.
Are they going to get money back for all the people they had to lay off? No. And this is time and time again this happened. Let me ask you this. What other things can they come up with that are health emergencies? I mean, this is the new thing. It's a public health emergency.
I had that conversation with my wife, Elise, the other day. And we said, well, you know what? There's a lot of car accidents between cars and bicycles in downtown Flagstaff. And that's been really hot topic lately because a couple of recent tragic events. So what if the mayor of Flagstaff, Mayor Daggett, said, you know what, I'm going to declare a 30-day health emergency and I'm going to ban all motor vehicles from Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Because there have been too many collisions between bicyclists and cars. So if you would like to come into Flagstaff, get on your bike or walk. Otherwise,
no more cars. Cars are off the streets for 30 days.
Could you do that?
I'm starting to think they can do whatever they want for a while, and then we got to spend a bunch of money and risk of jail and fines.
And we're fighting against the man.
Yeah, you're fighting against
against an infinitely funded organization that has, lawyers and staff and all kinds of resources that we don't.
Yeah, well, they have if you look at the city like Flagstaff, which I'm familiar with, you're familiar with, they've got their in-house legal counsel that is going to do the will of the politicians.
Absolutely.
And then they've got a bunch of outside counsel that they hire with the tax. So basically, you're fighting with your money, with their unlimited funds, which is also your money, you know, people's money. Exactly. They're using the taxpayer dollars to do all of this.
You're fighting against you. You're funding the fight against you.
It's just insanity all over.
It really is. And the gross abuse that's happening here is these emergency orders authorities were supposed to be in place because you couldn't do something with the legislative body, whether it be a city council, a county board of supervisors, your state legislature, whatever. You couldn't get them all together quick enough to make a decision about something that had to be made right now. Mm-hmm. And so you would have the authority as the senior executive, you know, manager, whatever,
sure,
to make that decision until that body could meet.
Yeah, which nowadays is pretty dang quick.
Yeah, the mayor can call an emergency meeting of the council, and now that it's all Zoom anyway, I mean, why couldn't it be tomorrow? Well, anytime they want.
Exactly. And this is the train derailment, zombie apocalypse, alien invasion clause, I call it. You know, something that happens suddenly and it's like, we got a train derailment and there's gases leaking out. I do want somebody to be able to step in, the mayor, let's say, to say, you know, we've got to close this 1 mile radius around the trains right now. We've got toxic gas leaking out.
Yeah.
And then we're going to figure out now if it's still 3 months later, or if it's COVID and it's 2.5 years later, then we got a problem. It's supposed to be very short term executive action to get us through an emergency. The problem is these people, everything's an emergency. The next one that's coming, I'll answer my own question, Rob, is the climate emergency. These nut jobs think everything, every hurricane, every storm, every gust of wind is climate change. Man caused climate change at this point. So disastrous. They're going to come they're going to come forward and say, well, we've got a health crisis. So I now declare that. Look at London, they've got this whole thing where they got the cameras on the license plates
and the fees
fees if your car is like 2006 or earlier or whatever. There's a group going around now destroying all those cameras. They've had a problem
spray paint
them. Eventually there just ain't gonna be enough camera supply left in the world to try to do what they're doing. But that's the thing is, this is what happens, and this is where I worry about where our country's going, Rob, is the push towards a strong man or woman to fix everything on both sides, because both sides are so frustrated with what's going on, the direction of this country, that we're looking for someone to bypass the legislative process. We're looking for someone just to take action, which is all fine and dandy until you're on the other side of that.
Exactly.
And that's where we're heading, I think.
And that's the problem. That's why we don't do things this way. That's why we have a process with a legislative deliberative body to be able to make the right decisions, and we don't leave it up to, you know, the emperor for the day, the mayor, whomever they think they are, the governor, whatever. It has to be done through the normal systems, so the checks and balances that are in place can do what they're supposed to do.
Work through the process, and people get to chime in. People get to say, wait a second here. And plus, you got time to run through the legal vetting. Something like this would have never flown because you're violating, so clearly violating the Constitution. There was even a senator or representative, a Democrat, liberal, I forget his name now, who came out and said that really...
David,
something like...
Lou, I think is his name.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And ironically, one of my personal heroes, David Hogue, the guy from Parkland, he's huge gun control advocate.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely anti-gun everything. Said, hey, this goes too far.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
We've finally found common ground in America.
I never would have thought I'd be agreeing with David Hogue, but I absolutely 100% agree with, and I'm proud to agree with him on that.
She should rescind this immediately. New Mexico has gone crazy for so long. New Mexico, you got real problems over there, Governor Grisham. You've got a state that is typically ranked 49th, 50th as far as most impoverished, poorest state in this country. And I can tell you, I've driven her a lot around New Mexico. It's bad unless you're in one of the select few like her and her gang that are in the upscale areas up north mostly. It's the state is poorly run, and it's been so for a very long time under Democrats.
Elise just drove back from Michigan a couple of weeks ago, and on her route it took her through Albuquerque.
Yeah,
she stopped in Albuquerque to get gas, and at a a normal exit kind of a thing in a gas station right there off the exit ramp on the interstate, which is normally relatively safe areas to stop and get gas. She said she pulled in and she thought she was in a set from Breaking Bad. And she got back on the interstate and drove some more.
Just kept going.
To find, she said there were whacked out people just kind of wandering around. There, It was scary.
Starting to see that more and more throughout the country, to be honest with you. Luckily, she didn't have to wait and do the electric car charge in there. All right, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love those comments. Keep those coming in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. Thanks to Desert Gold Exchange. When things are this crazy, wouldn't it be worth at least looking into physical gold and silver? I don't tell you what to do when it comes to your finances, but I can tell you I've dealt with, and Angela and I have been buying physical gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange, Arizona-based company, Justin and his family-run company. They keep their overhead low. They pass those savings right on to you. Give Desert Gold Exchange a call at 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. Also, thanks to Diamond Auto Glass. Believe it or not, I get a lot of rock chips in my windshield. Rob, you probably do.
Absolutely.
As well.
The cinders on the road. Yeah.
And it's coming. It's September here, so before you know it, they'll be throwing cinders on again. Yep. Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear, 928-779-4140. They'll fix those rock chips. And also, if you need a new windshield, they'll take care of that. I just did an interview with Stuart Weatherman, owner of Diamond Auto Glass, about the technology in these windshields. You should check that out. But call Diamond Auto Glass first. They will take really good care of you. 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. So Rob Wilson is here with me, owns Timberline Firearms and Training. I mean, Rob, the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, pretty simple, pretty short, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the end, and there's a period.
Yep.
I'm looking at that period right there. I don't see anything else but... except for
shall
in case of health emergency.
Yeah, it was in New Mexico.
Which wasn't even around at that point.
Right.
Yeah, unless Breaking Bad, situations, things like that. But I see a lot of people on the left, a lot of the gun control crowd, Rob, that continually point out, well, this has to do with standing armies, or this has to do with that or the other thing. And I go back to, right of the people keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I don't get why they don't see this and how we're interpreting this different. Do you have any insight, Rob?
Well, you know, the beauty of the system the founders set up for us is that we don't have to rely on ourselves to be legal scholars. We have a court that's designed specifically to settle things for us. And the Supreme Court of the United States has clearly stated it has nothing to do with the militia. It has absolutely everything to do with personal self-defense.
There you go.
The justices have written opinions very eloquently, very completely, very thoroughly analyzing the entire thing. We don't have to figure it out for ourselves. You can disagree. And if you would like to change the Constitution, there are ways to do that too.
Yeah, and it's quite complex and hard to do it for a reason.
On purpose.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
But everyone and anybody that disagrees with anything in the Constitution can make that effort. There is a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And if enough people in this country agree with you, you can change the Constitution. But until then, the Constitution is the law of the land, and it can't be infringed on.
But it is.
Yeah, well, and willingly. And you've got to guess that Governor Grisham's legal staff, you know, her attorney general for the state had to be saying, you know, girlfriend, you're walking all over the Constitution here. You're going to get hammered.
No, my experience with
maybe these, she wanted that.
Perhaps these people are like media junkies. Yep. These people, a lot of this is like sociopathic behavior at this point. These people, they love the attention.
Yeah.
There's probably back. I have no info on this, but my speculation is there's backroom conversations with somebody from somewhere about something to do stuff like this. And, oh, we'll help you out on this. We're going to do a fundraiser for you. I don't know on this particular case, but this stuff happens every day.
Yeah. If you do this, don't worry. Yeah, we got your back.
We got your back. Wink, wink. We'll take care of it.
And we'll, you know, because this supports our mission, whatever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah. We're there.
Go ahead and violate it. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. On a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I know most of these attorneys do know their stuff, and they usually tell you behind the scenes because I've seen it. I've experienced it myself.
In executive session. Exactly. The city, I bet you had
plenty of times where the attorney would tell a council member that, no, this is not legal. This is against Arizona statute, whatever. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have lawsuits. The council member then, they discard that advice for usually political reasons.
Right.
They go on out there in the public. They make a stink about it all. Mm-hmm. And they know that it's not right. Then the lawsuits follow. The city gets sued. But that individual council member who was advised not to do that never gets sued or anything
like that.
They
have whatsoever.
Yeah, they're shielded because
they're in
the government. All right. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We only got a couple minutes here, so we'll have to carry this over to the next segment, Rob. But yep. You've got an interesting one actually out of Flagstaff on advertising. When it comes to your line of work, Timberline Firearms and Training, for example, and advertising, say, at the Flagstaff Airport or something like that?
This is exactly why we have to hold all of our elected officials accountable. Mm. So in the summers, during peak tourist season in the past, I have advertised on the video monitor over the baggage claim thing there at the airport. Great place to get some exposure for folks that live here.
Yeah, people got nothing to do.
You're sitting there waiting on your bag. Yeah. You got nothing to do but look at that monitor. So
yeah.
I've advertised there before. I went back to the airport this year and said, hey, I'd like to put this ad up again. Same ad as I've always run before. And they said, well, you know, we've reviewed it and we've determined it doesn't meet our advertising standards. I said, well, what about it doesn't meet your advertising? And they said, well, it depicts violence. Now, this ad is a 10-second long video clip. Starts with a still photograph of four people standing at a rental counter holding firearms with big smiles on their face. Nothing violent about it. Mm. And the second part of the clip is somebody being trained by one of our range safety officers in the range on one of the lanes.
Nothing violent.
Not shooting at anyone, not shooting at anything else. Ironically, the ad that used to run right after mine was one for Flag Laser Tag.
But that one was okay.
That ad showed people with simulated guns chasing after each other and shooting them.
Yeah, they probably don't allow that now either.
And throwing, yes, they do.
They ran all
summer long.
Oh, okay.
And throwing axes.
Well, that's not violent.
You know, knives and sharp instruments kill more people than rifles do every year.
That's not violent at all.
No.
You're way off, Rob. Okay, no, we're going to carry this over because I got a lot to say about this.
Me too.
Plus, we are going to talk about today is September 11th. We're going to get to that in the second hour. A lot of reflection there. All right, a great special right now for all of you. Gutter Helmet's been with me now for quite a few years. This is the best deal they've ever offered. Normally, they give my listeners 30% off. If you call them right now or text, you get 35% off this awesome system, multi-patented reverse curve, deflects all the pine needles, all that junk, all the winter's coming. It's like that show, what is that series? Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Winter is coming, and before you know it, it's going to your ice.
Ice dams.
Yeah, and you've had the fire experience, too, with it getting packed full of
pine needles are just waiting to flame on.
Yeah, so, hey, call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona or text. Learn about this great system. Mention the show because, like I said, you get 35% off. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. That's Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. Home ownership's a huge thing. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she did a great job for me and my family just last year. We refinanced a multifamily property. I know interest rates have gone up quite a bit. I actually got to get Kim back on the program to talk about how these rates keep moving. Yeah. But people need homes. And I know it's getting harder and harder. Look, if you're a first-time buyer, if you're maybe someone that's moving up a little bit, selling a home, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. What I like about Nova Home Loans is they are a bank. They're Arizona's largest privately owned bank, mortgage lender, I should say. Yeah. But they also have programs like a broker, so they can find you that best program out there. So call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. She's going to be able to help you out. Mention to Jeff Orvich, you get $250 off at close of escrow. 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orvich Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to The Jeff Orvich Show. This is The Jeff Orvich Show.
All right, Rob Wilson is here with me. He's with Timberline Firearms and Training. I'd love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Olivia will be by at the tail end of the second hour with some of your great comments, plus an Arizona news roundup. I think she's got like four items on the list that I definitely want to hit on.
Interesting.
And then in the second hour, Rob, I want to reflect on and talk about 9/11. Sure, 22 absolutely. Years later here today is September 11th. It's crazy to think all the time that's gone by, but it seems like yesterday for us.
It sure can feel that way.
Yeah, but how much of the population wasn't even born or really
right.
aware of things like this when they were kids? It's a shocking number because we're getting older, yes. I guess. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, talk about that in just a little bit. But no, we're talking a lot of Second Amendment things this first hour, and then you got the city of Flagstaff that, you know, the big bad gun, the big bad, you know, Second Amendment, which you can't. Rob used to advertise at the Flagstaff Airport, like you were saying before yeah. we went to break, and now they're saying you can't advertise. Because why?
Well, they said the current standard, they said the one that I was violating with my advertisement, a prohibited version of advertising is anything that represents by language or graphics violence or antisocial behavior.
Okay, that's what it...
That's what it currently says.
Okay, so violence you could do with a lot of things, or anti... What is... Who judges antisocial behavior? Someone at the... They have a cubicle there that... They run it through.
They've got a specialist.
A specialist?
Yeah, they probably have an antisocial behavior specialist.
It's like negative thoughts?
In the HR department that, you know.
Okay. All right.
So that was what it was.
Okay, now.
And tomorrow at the working group meeting for the city council, they are proposing to change that. And rather than violence or antisocial behavior, they've changed that same paragraph to instead read, advertising that promotes, solicits, depicts, or markets the sale, use, rental, distribution, or availability of firearms, ammunition, or related goods or services. Hmm. So they took something that said, hey, violence is bad and we probably shouldn't advertise that, and turned it into something that's very, very industry specific. And the fact that they included rental in there, makes it even more specific because my facility is the only one in the city
yeah.
that you, rents firearms.
Yeah, you have like Ladies Day on Thursday where it's got a rentals. Gun rental. Yeah, yeah. yeah, so it's like they should have just said Rob's Place, well, Timberline. Yeah,
rather than write all those words in there, they just could have said prohibited advertisers,
yeah.
Timberline Firearms.
Yeah, just and have you on a list basically without yeah, naming
I'm
you
blacklisted.
On a list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, and then think about this. So Flagstaff's a tourist town.
It
a
is.
Lot of people fly in and they're like, well, what do we do? We're going to go to the Grand Canyon. We're going to go to this. Oh, there's, I really like playing golf, so I brought my golf clubs. Oh, I really like shooting, so I'm going out. I always like the Timberline. I'm going out to Timberline.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just like they're also just cutting off a local business, quite frankly.
Oh, sure. We had good results from the advertising that we ran there. We got a lot of local folks that fly in and out of the airport who weren't aware that we existed that saw it. And like you mentioned, we got a lot of foreign tourists who come out.
Is there anybody looking at this and saying to the city that are they, in your opinion, in violation of anything here as far as discriminating against certain businesses, like your business? Is there right. anything there?
Yes.
Or are you going against the state and you're just spending a bunch of money against the taxpayer-funded, you know, legal department in the city if you go after this stuff.
You know, tomorrow we're going to be there to talk to the city. There's public comment and all the items on the agenda. I expect a number of folks to show up that we've invited. Some of them have legal backgrounds, and some of them have a lot better knowledge of what the rules, regulations, and state laws are. There is legal precedent in this case here in Arizona. A gentleman who was advertising firearms training services down in Phoenix on the buses was prohibited from doing so, and he sued the city of Phoenix and won in the Arizona Supreme Court. So there's a very there's close precedent. Parallel here between these two cases. We're hoping to be able to talk some sense into city council tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I hope. And say, hey, you know, I am a completely law-abiding business. I pay my taxes. I'm actually one of the most regulated businesses in the city.
True.
The ATF and everybody else. And I'm certainly not violating any laws. And I'm supported by the Second Amendment. Why did you pick me to ban?
Yeah.
Now, they also ban, in fairness, they also ban anybody that sells pot, anybody that sells cigarettes or liquor. I think they still ban pornography. I don't remember. Yes, they still ban pornography.
Okay.
So there's, I'm not alone.
So you're right up there with porn.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's been a great weekend.
All right? And I wonder, you know, what gives staff or council the right to pick and choose which businesses they should or should not support?
This is so selective.
And if they choose, if they say this is okay for them to pick and choose, what happens when the next council comes in and says, well, wait a minute, we have an obesity crisis. So all the candy stores and all of the fast food restaurants have to close. We're gonna declare a national or a citywide health emergency. We'll do a
emergency. Health emergency on big gulps.
And we're gonna ban all rounds. Fast food. Yeah. And we're gonna shut down every fast food restaurant for the next 30 days.
Yeah. Or what's to say that hey, we're only gonna advertise companies that ran electric cars versus gas cars because
war companies made contributions to my campaign.
We're not too far from that. We're not too far from Banana Republic stuff. So
it's scary.
And this one also sounds like, and I haven't had them on in a couple months. This sounds like a Goldwater case to me.
They were on my list of people that have been notified
because they fight back. This kind of stuff all the time. But I could imagine they're totally overwhelmed because they're throwing so much at all of us that it's hard to defend, and they're throwing three things up there, and they're usually getting one all the time, and they're always advancing their agenda. So I hope the city kind of wakes up. This is a dumb one. There was no problem before. He's a continuing
thousands of
advertiser.
Times.
Yeah,
it's run thousands of times. There has been zero.
Yeah,
more people have been killed on golf courses in Flagstaff than on shooting ranges.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, lightning.
Yeah, lightning is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We almost got struck out there a couple of times.
Every couple of years, somebody.
Yeah. Okay. The other one on the Second Amendment was Joe Biden coming out, or the ATF, but that to me is just, that's Joe Biden, closing the so-called gun show loophole. They've been trying to go after this one for years by massively broadening who is, quote-unquote, engaged in the business of selling guns. I think this is in some kind of review period right now.
Right.
What is that, 90-day, 60-day thing?
It's a 90-day public comment period.
So potentially by the end of the year, not if, because have you ever seen them actually listen to anything during a public comment period?
No, it's a legal technicality.
They have to do
it. They just wait it out and then do whatever they're going to do anyway.
It's kind of like when you show up at some of these local board and council meetings and they're like, we're doing public outreach. Mm-hmm. And it's not very well advertised and they just kind of pile up all the public comments and then pretty much disregard them. And then in the advertisements, when they say they're passing this, we did public outreach, as if that means anything.
856 comments.
Yeah.
We ignored all of them.
We ignored all of them, but we did public outreach. So I fully expect this to happen. Is this a violation of the Second Amendment? And will this be fought for a couple years? But in the meantime, anybody who's kind of doing these gun shows, things like that, they're sidelined.
Well, the word gun show is kind of a grossly abused word because it solicits the kinds of thoughts that the anti-gun people want, that some imaginary building where just anybody can walk in and sell anything they want to anybody they want, and there's no restrictions, no requirements, no anything.
Okay. It's like you're in Somalia and you're at the market. And
yeah, you can walk down the corner of the street,
yeah,
which technically in Arizona is absolutely legal. We could stand on the corner of the street in front of City Hall and I could sell you, I can't because I have a federal firearms license, but anybody that doesn't could sell you a handgun right there on the street.
Okay.
It's 100% legal here in the state of Arizona. But there are people, and I'm not a big fan of them, there are people that are operating as FFLs without having an FFL. So they're buying a lot of used guns and selling a lot of used guns for profit.
Okay.
And most of the time, because they don't have a federal firearms license, they're doing it without any scrutiny whatsoever. So as far as how closely they're following the rules and regulations, there isn't any rules and regulations if you're not an FFL. So there is maybe a little bit of area here that could probably be tightened up.
Yeah, but a little now, becomes a lot.
When
great.
Does that make any difference in the grand scheme of what their, you know, the perceived problem with firearms in our society is? No, it won't. The numbers aren't going to change statistically at all. It's just like President Biden's assault weapons ban that he passed in 1994. After 10 years, they said, nope, can't determine any statistical difference whatsoever that that made.
So your take on this is, and you're obviously a federal fire license dealer,
right.
Is that somebody who's out there selling this, doing this all the time, going weekend,
yeah,
and this is their normal thing.
And they're doing it to generate revenue for themselves.
But here, where's the gray line,
that's
though?
A firearms
because
here, dealer.
I see the slippery slope argument on everything that these people do now. So all of a sudden, I happen to go around to estate sales and I pick up 4 or 5 rifles a year, whatever. Doesn't matter. Next thing you know, and I would put it wherever they put them, wherever you advertise this stuff, and you sell them. Oh, you made money. You did this with the intention of making money. It's like, well, yeah, maybe, but this is just kind of a side gig. I know plenty of people that do that, and it's not. I'm not running a gun shop or anything like that. That's,
you hear that? That's the ATF knocking on your door, Jeff.
Yeah, probably. And I will say, do you have a warrant? No, we don't. We just want to come in and talk. And I will say, no, that's okay. I'm good. You're not even coming in here. Those days are long gone.
Yep.
You know, unless you have a warrant. And that'll lead to our Liberty Safe discussion here in a few minutes as well. I just see a slippery slope, though, Rob.
That's a concern. Just like the laws, for instance, the state of Washington passed a law that banned any private sales of firearms. You have to go through the state of Washington's background check system with every single transfer. So it was so strict that it ended up being that if, let's say you and I are out hunting, mm-hmm, and we're going to cross a fence line. Well, the right way to cross a fence line when you're out hunting is to have one person stand on one side of the fence and hold both firearms.
Okay.
Hand them over. Climb across the fence, hand both of them over to that person, and then you climb across.
Is that a transfer?
That, in Washington State, is an illegal transfer of a firearm.
These people are hopelessly stupid, Rob. It's unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
I want to get to the Liberty Safe thing here in just a second. Plus your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Hit that subscribe button right now. Appreciate everybody doing that. All right, if you want a good steak, go out to Miss Kitty Steakhouse in Williams. First of all, Williams is a great place to just check out, walk around. Maybe you head out there early. Miss Kitty Steakhouse has breakfast starting at 7 a.m. right there on Route 66. And then, of course, great steaks, great meals. They've got everything. Trout, they've got...
steak and eggs right now just sounds really good to me.
Oh, man. So head on out to Miss Kitty Steakhouse and enjoy the wonderful, beautiful city, town of Williams. I love just walking around downtown. There's so much. And Mayor John Moore is usually there a lot, too. He'll say hi to you, former mayor. Also, if you're heading out there and you don't have insurance, call Eric Boatner at Allstate Insurance Agency. He'll take care of insurance on your vehicles and homes and all those, garage items, the boats.
Sure.
The RVs, things like that. Eric Boatner, Allstate Insurance Agency. It's where me and Angela have moved so many of our policies. We've taken a couple years to kind of vet Eric and his team.
I would highly recommend everybody, as somebody who was recently affected by fires, check your policy. Make sure you have adequate coverage for what it's going to cost to replace your house.
Check your...
Too many people got literally burned
and are still fighting that. Call Eric Boatner, Allstate Insurance Agency, 928-774-8722. 928-774-8722. Make sure you tell him I sent you. He's going to take extra special care of you. More to come. Hang tight. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
I'm going to get to the Liberty Safe issue here in just a second. My phone is really getting bad. I got to go to Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue as you're coming off I-17. I need a new-to-me refurbished phone. They've got a great line of those. Plus, if your phone is broken, Just Wireless can fix it. Stop on by, cracked screens, charging ports, and batteries on all these smartphones. Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue right as you come into Flagstaff. Okay, the Liberty Safe controversy. You're a Liberty Safe dealer.
Yep.
They were... As of last week, this was a big story. What happened real quick?
So what happened was a criminal investigation was going on for somebody that was involved in the January 6th insurrection. You know, the unarmed. Anyway. Yeah,
the second American Revolution.
Yeah. The FBI got a search warrant to search someone's house. And in that house, they found a Liberty Safe. So the FBI contacted the Liberty Safe company and said, hey, there's this safe inside this property that we have a search warrant for. Can you give us the combination? Liberty Safe, like all safe manufacturers, said, our policy is provide us a hard copy of that warrant, let us validate it with the court that it is a valid warrant, and then yes, if we have one, we will.
Okay.
And they did.
Okay.
So the issue here is now everyone is complaining that Liberty Safe bowed down to the FBI and gave them the combination and didn't have to.
Did they have to? Was it in the warrant? You were on like a conference call with Liberty Safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No.
They didn't.
They didn't have to.
Okay.
Here's the deal. If they hadn't, the FBI was going to cut the safe open anyway.
Okay.
It's not like whatever was in the safe wasn't going to be searched. That was going to happen regardless. So by Liberty Safe giving him the combination, it actually saved the guy's safe.
Yeah, but somebody, for me, the argument would be is like, you don't give that, I don't want you to give that combo.
And if you don't want them to do that, that's the beauty of Liberty now. They now have a new policy as a result of all this.
Okay.
When you register your Liberty Safe, you can say, take my name off your list. Take my safe combination out of your database. And then they won't even have it anymore.
And it's gone. And they can tell the FBI that we don't have that. Our policy, they signed to get rid of the code.
Yep.
Agreement or whatever.
And they're now going to require a subpoena. Whatever law enforcement agency is going to have to subpoena that information from Liberty. They're not going to do it based on just the warrant.
Okay.
But here's the really simple solution. All that you have to do is take the serial number sticker that's top on the top of your safe off. And then the FBI...
There's nothing to cross-reference.
There's nothing to cross-reference.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Is this a Bud Light moment for them, or are they going to recover from this thing?
I think they're going to recover, but it's ugly.
It's ugly because Liberty Safe has been Liberty Safe.
I mean,
it's been... And you're a dealer.
Yes.
You've probably got a couple of them out there.
We do.
You know, and it's just... You got to be real careful.
The other thing you can do is change lock. Then nobody doesn't...
Yeah.
Nobody knows it.
That's true.
Which I can do for you.
So. It's just... I hate that we have such distrust nowadays, but they've earned it.
They have, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, we'll carry this over to the second hour. Plus, talk about 9/11, 22 years later, your comments, Arizona News Roundup, much more. Stick around, back in just a few. This hour of the show is brought to you by Allstate Insurance Agency.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Rob Wilson's here with me. I can't believe, Rob, that it's been 22 years. I mentioned this last hour since the attacks on September 11th. 2001. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, but it wasn't. It's almost a quarter century away now.
Yeah, it's burned into your soul when something like that happens, and it's It's such a tragic event.
Yeah. And did we learn the lessons?
See, that's the big question, you know, and I was talking to some folks earlier today, you know, what if 9/11 happened today in our divided, you know, political and social economic world that we live in this country today, if 9/11 happened today, would we see that surge of patriotism that we saw? You remember how all of a sudden there were American flags on houses all over the place?
I remember clearly.
How we put aside all those petty differences about, you know, race, sex, religion, economic status, none of that, what political party you were, all that stuff went away.
It did.
For a couple of months.
At least a couple of months. I remember at the time I was running a multimedia company. We manufactured CDs and then eventually DVDs. We did a lot of printing. So we had a lot of large format printers that we had. And I just remember that morning my dad calling me and he just said, you know, turn on the TV.
Right.
And it was in that tone that, what happened? So, you know, and then as we get back to work the next day, you know, we took that day off and we were back the next day.
How could anybody do anything that
day? I know, but then we had the printers though. So we started printing off, on papers, 11 by 17, 12 by 18, just glossy American flags. Because everybody wanted to put one up in their window.
Yep.
And we just, you know, all the businesses around us, like, here you go. And people were doing that. And they were just, they were patriotism
peaked.
Was everywhere. And yeah, it peaked. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah. And I guess there's so few left at this point, but Pearl Harbor, probably before that, where patriotism peaked.
Yep.
And there was that trigger moment in history that changed history.
It sure did. I think it's a tragic commentary on our society that it takes some, you know, tremendous event like that for us to recognize what's really important in life.
Yeah.
You know, life itself and, you know, the freedoms that we enjoy and the fact that our lives are all so cushy, pretty much. You know, everybody complains about their lives. But when you look at our quality of life today here in the United States, the average citizen living here today's quality of life so far exceeds anything, you know, ever in history before.
Oh, yeah.
That it allows us that luxury to be petty and focus on things that aren't really important. You know, when you think back to the Great Depression, when, you know, there were people all across the United States of America starving to death, you know. We haven't faced that kind of thing, and I'm thankful that we haven't.
Yeah,
but
how would we handle that today? I mean, you go back to the Great Depression, and people were losing their homes,
businesses, everything. Yeah,
the economy was just in shambles for years and years and years. There's a big difference, though. People were much more self-reliant, much more self-sustaining back then. They could supplement some of their food. They quite frankly, had a more broad ability on work. They would do just about it. So many people would do just about everything. Not everybody was specialized to do this one little task in society.
And the kinds of things you could do were sustainment kinds of things. They helped, like you say, grow food or do things that helped sustain life. And families were torn apart because, you know, a mom and a dad living in the big city couldn't make enough money to feed their family. So I know my dad got sent to his aunt's farm, you know, out in the country where he got put to work, you know.
Yeah. And send the kids away to do it.
Yeah.
Well, when World War II broke out, I've told this story before, another, you know, when Pearl Harbor happened, and the attack on Pearl Harbor, my Angela's grandpa enlisted into the Navy. Okay. He was 15.
Yeah.
His parents lied and said he was, did he say he was 16? Did you have to be 16 or 18 back then? I can't remember the whole story.
I think he was 16 with parental consent.
Yeah, so they had to lie to say he was, and back then there was there was no way that would happen because there's so many records and this and that. Back then it was just like, okay, sign here.
Yeah.
Take your word for it. But there was so many kids.
Yeah.
You think about it. I mean,
kids, a 15-year-old kid.
A year from, and Olivia's going to join us with some Arizona news items here in a little bit during this hour. You know, a year from now, she could have been going, or if Owen was 14,
going over the trenches.
Yeah, maybe she wouldn't have because things were different back then, as far as, but you get my point. And I look at her and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Different different breed of folks. So to answer your question, we ain't anywhere like we were in 2001.
No.
We ain't even close to where the society was in before World War II. And when World War II started, it's changed dramatically. It's a great question. And if anyone wants to chime in on this, I'd love to share these emails. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. What does our country look like at the next big trigger point transition, whatever it may be called, because they happen every few generations.
Again, yeah.
What do we look like next, after that?
The Dust Bowl famine kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Of course, climate change is going to cause that. And I've heard that's probably next year that happens.
Oh, is it speeding up?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've been hearing that for a long time. And maybe it's because, we saw 9/11. And we've seen a lot of these things throughout history now as we get older, but there's a huge percentage of the population that hasn't seen it. So are we doomed to repeat history just in a different way? History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, I think, is the old saying.
Yeah.
About 38% of the U.S. population was not born when 9/11 happened.
38%?
Yeah. Another, think about it.
Now I feel
22 years. So there's a bunch of young people running. Another 13.7% were between the ages of 3 years old and 13 years old when 9/11 happened. So 13, you probably remember. 10, you get 9, 8, 7. So over 50, it was like 51. Where did I put that number? Yeah. Over 50% of the population is either wasn't born or weren't really at the age of understanding what was going on or even remembering. Think about that. Half the population. So,
and back then, one of the things that's key to our survival is our resilience. And our resilience in World War I, World War II, those situations are what allowed us to win those wars and to continue, growing and becoming the once great nation we were. Do we have that resilience in our society today? If all of a sudden everybody's quality of life was cut in half, if food rationing happened, if gas rationing happened, if all those kinds of things that world wars can cause, how would that impact our society today? And would we be able to get past that?
Would we be able to change gears so quickly?
Yeah.
Being one of the more coddled societies in the history of the world, where I've said this a lot before, you can turn on your tap no matter what your station is in life in this country, you can turn on your tap, you're going to get clean water. I mean, there's some exceptions where you have something crazy happen like that with the one Michigan. There's localized stuff that absolutely happens. But generally speaking, you get food in this country, you're going to get shelter, you're going to get water. You're going to get the essentials in this country no matter your station, no matter your position in life. Mm-hmm. That is an anomaly in history that we were born into this.
Right.
So we, quite frankly, take it for granted and expect it.
Yep. It's expected.
This is a human right. Internet's practically a human right at this point.
Oh, yeah.
There's this big push to get internet to all the rural communities, to this and that, because it's a right. It's a right. And it's, none of this stuff is a right. We got to this point where this is insanity. So, I don't know what that next challenge looks like, Rob. But I do know the encouraging thing here is throughout history, America has stepped up. And all of a sudden, something kicks in that's in our DNA or whatever. I think it's still in there. It's still buried. We just got to dig it out a little bit. But I hate the fact that it takes a crisis.
Yes.
And it takes a calamity, quite frankly,
to get us together. A major world
crisis. And what concerns me, though, is I think the next crisis someday, who the heck knows when, is probably an economic thing. Because this all has to, wrecking has to hit the fan eventually. I'm concerned about what they bring in. What the reaction of the government, the powers that be at this point, with all the power they have, Rob.
Right. Over the
centralization.
The world economy that nobody can possibly understand and that, they're pretending that they have some control over. And they don't.
So anyway, 22 years, crazy to think about the
tragic loss of life. A short glimpse, and for the folks that weren't alive, it's too bad because that little glimpse of solidarity and of the United States of America, that was so inspiring to me.
Despite the tragedy, pride, what came out,
all of that. Yeah.
And it's sad that the numbers I gave you, the population, that was not even born, they don't remember a world before 9/11.
Right.
As far as the loss of liberties, the loss of freedoms that we've had as a country, they just don't even understand the surveillance, the Patriot Act, the all right. this stuff that's just
the
that's,
TSA.
Yeah, the TSA. There wasn't that wasn't there, and all the things that were put in place that were just temporary measures.
Yeah.
That we're still dealing with all the loss of life that happened in bad decisions from our leaders leading up to just last year in the Afghan yep. withdrawal, all because of that. And nearly half the population really didn't experience that firsthand, or had at least a third of the population didn't experience that firsthand. So do we repeat ourselves? And I see some of these headlines that we're hitting on, and you hit on one here, Rob, about the prisoner exchange in Iran. We don't learn our lessons. What's going on there? This is another Biden
just
maneuver?
Apparently it was agreed to by the Secretary of State last week, but okay. nobody told the Congress until today. So it's interesting in the way the administration manages that. But we just agreed to a prisoner exchange between the United States and Iran. We're going to exchange 5 prisoners that we're holding of theirs for 5 prisoners they're holding
of ours. Okay, even exchange. That's okay. We get 5 prisoners and they get 5 prisoners. Done.
Seems pretty reasonable, right? And yeah. if you and I had negotiated that deal amongst us, we'd say, okay, we
can 5 for 5.
Away. Yeah. We'd be able to walk away winners, right?
And one was, stuck in Iran on trumped up, bogus charges, and yeah. we're not trading back some terrorist or something, right? I mean, exactly. we wouldn't do that as a country.
No, we've never done. Oh, wait.
Okay, so 5 for 5, yeah. and...
Oh, wait, there's a bonus.
There's more.
There's a bonus. In order to... Apparently, our negotiation skills were so good that we were able to negotiate a bonus into this deal, and we're giving the country of Iran $6 billion.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
As part of this exchange.
That's good. Okay.
Now, this is a country that just today, the director of the International Atomic Energy Commission that's responsible for monitoring the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons said, hey, eyes on Iran. They've been out of control now for a couple of years because we haven't been able to get in and do inspections. And so what does our administration do? And ironically, on 9/11, they give $6 billion to a country that is identified as a state sponsor of terror.
Yeah. They were one of the axis of evil identified by Bush after 9/11. Remember that?
And in fact, in order to be 100% correct here, they're not actually giving $6 billion to Iran. They're giving it to a different country to hand to Iran because we can't legally now give it to Iran.
Yeah. Okay. Can I do that as a business person? It's like, I didn't really sell it. I sold it to another country. And then I had somebody on last week, and I'm actually going to get the producer of the film. They're having the Sedona Film Festival coming up, and they're talking about the grid. I don't know if you got to hear that interview. Save Our Grid, I think, is the group is called. And they're worried about our electrical grid being smacked out by EMP
right.
or solar flares, or, this or that. It hasn't happened since the late 1800s when nobody was hooked up to anything, but it actually fried the Carrington event, I think it was called. Yeah. Anyway, they gave me a price tag. They said, we think we can harden the grid if we really decided to do this as a country. I think they told me $4 billion, which I said, okay, I don't believe that. Let's say it's $40 billion. Even still, most Americans, I think, could get behind that. But let's say they were right and it's $4 billion and they're wrong by a couple billion, and let's just round it up to $6 billion for good measure.
Yeah.
Instead of sending $6 billion to Iran for this, so they
think
can...
Think of what we could do here.
Yeah, we could fix our grid. We could fix bridges, dams, things like that. And I could argue about Ukraine and all that, too, all the money we're sending over there.
$40 billion now,
they just,
I think.
They don't care about us, Rob. They don't care about us. It's just there's them and there's us at this point. And it's become so detached.
It has.
It's sad.
And the people that we count on to represent us as elected representatives and, our Secretary of State, for instance, who's apparently been negotiating this deal with Iran. Really, that's the best you could get.
Yeah. That's the best you could
do
for us. 5
for 5 plus 6 billion.
Plus 6 billion.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's it. Well,
man, I got a house I'd like to sell that guy.
Yeah. Look.
You can't live in it right now. Yeah, but it's damaged, but.
Yeah. Maybe we got, symptom of the age thing here, which we've been talking about a lot. And, there's a congressman who introduced the 75-year-old age limit for people being reelected. But over the weekend, I was shocked to see that Nancy Pelosi has put her hat back in the ring.
You
to
were
get
shocked? Come on, Jeff.
I think she's 83.
82 right now.
82. So she's going to be 84, running for re-election. 83. 85. 84, 85 in office. I know there's a lot of you out there that are 84, 85 and you're doing great and stuff, but this is not the norm.
How many of you can, how many of you, 80-year-old people can work a 80-hour work week.
Yeah, exactly. Because why would you want to? Effective
in that job,
yep.
You're working an 80-hour work week.
Yeah.
How many of you can do that? And you know, she only needs to look to the senator from California to find out, you know, how old you can't be and still be effective.
Yeah, Senator Feinstein, or look at our president. that's a good one right there. All right, get those comments in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, we had Kelly Broadison just last week talking about the real estate market. Man, she says it's just kind of the strangest market she's seen in all the years she's been doing this. It just, it's crazy what's still happening, despite high interest rates. If you're thinking about selling your home right now, call the only person that I would call if I was selling a home in the Flagstaff area, and that's Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. 888-446-5602. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. She's going to take really good care of you. You can also get the valuation of your home right now instantly by going to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Kelly Broadus at 888-446-5602. And Rob, you've got a lot of great things going on at Timberline. I want to mention that before we go to break. Lots of training courses.
We do. We've got a lot more advanced training courses going on now. So
yeah,
you can go out to Camp Savage, our outdoor range, practice moving and shooting, transitioning between weapons, shooting longer distances, all of those kinds of things. So
good. Lots
of great training opportunities. Give us a call. Look at the website. Our calendar's updated every day. So
all right, good.
Check that out.
Yeah, and book those early because they start. And
they do.
You have Camp Savage now before the cold weather kicks in.
It's beautiful out there.
It's coming soon. All right, back in just a minute. Mentioned a restaurant, but you just told me a longtime restaurant closed in the Flagstaff. I'm surprised. It's tough. Angela and I went at the breakfast this morning, and we were just like, wow.
When you saw your check?
Yeah, and I don't blame. And then there's pretty much everybody adds the extra fee nowadays
for
the credit card or the wait. A lot of places have the wage. The
service fee.
Yeah, and the service fee. And you're like, whew. So it's, where does all this go with the inflation and all that? And that's all Biden. And really, I'm not just going to blame him. I blame Republicans and Democrats for years on the overspending. Because I don't see, and I got a message from Congressman Andy Biggs. He's really frustrated. He's been fighting this for years. I'm going to try to get him on this week because they're talking about, is there going to be a government shutdown?
Right.
You know, they never do this. They come out the last minute right around Christmas time. They get a continuing resolution because the Democrats overspend, but the Republicans are just behind them.
Exactly.
Not too far behind them.
Yeah. They just overspend a little less.
Yeah. It's back to this thing, though, with the billions going to Iran. And you got to imagine that Iran is then going to go to North Korea or Russia.
With those billions of dollars.
With those billions and ramp up their nuke program
and buy
or whatever.
Some new centrifuges to, refine that ore a little bit faster.
I mean, this is just... This is playing right into the folks that Biden is funding with billions of dollars to Ukraine, and then we're sending it to money to Iran that's going to wind up back to Russia probably. And you said something about Russia and North Korea are cozying up real close.
Well, the
Kim Jong-un, the third dictator there.
The dictator
in the family
of,
line.
Of North Korea
is
leaving his country for the first time in 4 years on his armored train that can only go 35 miles an hour because it's so heavy.
Did they have one that goes up through China and then over to Russia?
From North Korea into Russia. And it's going to take him like 30 hours or something to go 200 miles. I don't know.
It's an armored train?
It has 60 cars. And he's got caviar and all, you know. Anyway.
Meanwhile, they live like peasants.
This guy is traveling to Russia to negotiate with them because Russia has used up so much of their ammunition and war fighting materials in this battle in Ukraine that they need more. And so North Korea is going to start supplying Russia with arms while Russia gives North Korea food because their people are starving to death. Now, North Korea and Russia are both countries that we have huge issues with. And right now, there's huge leverage available in both cases to work with them. But where's the United States in that deal? We're in Iran giving $6 billion so that they can go buy stuff from these guys. And the reason Iran is on the state-sponsored terrorism list is because they have publicly stated as a goal for their country to wipe Israel off the map.
Death to Israel. Death to America.
Yes.
I mean, it's
they have publicly stated as soon as they get a nuke, Israel's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're giving them $6 billion.
I got one to top you here.
Oh, good.
Remember remember the prisoner exchange for Griner, the basketball
player. Brittany Griner, yeah.
Yeah, the WNBA basketball player here in Arizona. And she was caught up in Russia, and she's in jail, this and that, right? And then over here, we had Victor Boot. Victor Boot, the so-called merchant of death, who's funded all sides on all conflicts for so long. They exchanged her for him, right? Now he's over there, and I just read a thing that he's the so-called opposition party, but it's a Putin. You know, it's a mirage, right? It's a fantasy. He's in politics. He either is getting elected or is about to get installed. He's in.
Yeah.
He's going to be a politician in Russia now. And it's only been like, 6 months? It couldn't have been a year since this exchange happened.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want to help Russia. It's time for me to get into a new field.
The Wagner Group is looking for a new boss too.
That might be a fit right there. When the plane's wings mysteriously,
fell off midair.
Yeah. So there you go. That one worked out good. I'm sure that the one in Iran is going to work out pretty good as well.
No question. Yeah.
Hit subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're on Rumble, look up Orvitz, Orvitz, and hit the follow button there. Follow us on video on Rumble. Appreciate everyone doing that. All right, you want to get... Look, here's a place. We're just talking about restaurants. You can still get great food at a great price, and that's Sportsman's Bar and Grill. $4 menu. Still got the $4 menu where you get like great soups, great pozole, things like that.
That sounds good.
Great drink specials. You don't have to break the bank. Plus, what's today? I think they got the hot links today. Tomorrow's Taco Tuesday, where you get a very filling taco. And then don't forget about Wing Wednesday, half-price wings on Wing Wednesday. So go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Basha Shopping Center. Enjoy some great games.
Good local place.
Yeah, 17 TVs, all your sports action, pool tables, good time there at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Also, thanks to Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Zero Res, where you can get your carpets cleaned, you can get the tiles cleaned. All that grime just builds up on your tile. They'll take care of that. The fabrics on your couches, on your even your RVs, your vehicles, things like that. Visit ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. That's ZeroResNorthernArizona.com.
Wait, you mean my grout isn't bone?
Yeah, I always laugh when people put like the white grout. Go get the darker color.
They take care of all that grime. It comes completely clean.
They do a great job. And they've got a great special on ZR Maids house cleaning going on this month. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Enter promo code RELAX15. That's RELAX, all capital, RELAX, one word, RELAX15, the number 15. RELAX15 is the promo code. Get 15% off ZR Maids. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. If you've got any questions for them, too, they're happy to talk to you about pet odors, things like that. 928-378-8888. Call Zero Res Northern Arizona, 928-378-8888. All right, when we come back, we're going to bring in Olivia. She's going to do an Arizona news roundup, plus we've got a couple of great comments from you as well. Hang tight, back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, Olivia joins us as promised, an Arizona news roundup. Rob Wilson's here with me as well. What's going on around our state, Olivia? I lost the list. I gave it to you. I'm trusting
Don't worry,
you picked
I
them.
Have it.
Okay, all right.
All right. First, I have tiny homes from Ducey's failed border wall.
Oh, good, good, good. Money well spent, I'm sure.
A nonprofit to use Ducey's 200 million failed shipping container border wall for tiny homes. 2,000 of the containers are listed for sale, with just over 100 selling for a total of $192,000, or about $1,600 each.
That's a deal. I need one of those.
They're still there.
Yeah.
They were purchased for $6,000 each. Okay, do you remember this deal? And you, yeah, I know you were here when we were talking about it.
Yes, I
do. Good intention. Ducey,
yep.
He bought like 2,000 or 3,000 shipping containers.
Yep.
They lined them up like Yuma Sector and other areas.
Welded them together.
Too high. Welded them together. Great. Okay, we're going to stop the... The cost was exorbitant. It was like $75 million at first, right?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second here. And this contractor is making all this money. Well, right before Hobbs takes over and gets in office, he removes them.
He rolls over.
He rolled over.
Yes.
Because Biden administration was about to sue.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, it's on federal land. You can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And I always said, hey, he should have just let her take him down. He
Absolutely.
Took him down. This thing has now cost the taxpayers, this is the number they give you, $200 million. $200 million for this thing.
For 2,000 shipping containers.
Yeah, for 2,000, 3,000 shipping containers. Now you can buy them for $1,600 each. I think they've only sold like 100, 112 out of the 2,000 remaining. So if you need a shipping, they're pretty beat up, I hear, but you might need one. You
I
might
want to check it out. Temporary storage where our house is being rebuilt.
They are for sale. Okay, another one.
Woman dead in Prescott after pointing gun at officers Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Officers were called to a house with reports of gunshots, and upon arriving, a woman exited the house armed and aimed the gun at the officers. She was transported to the hospital where she later died.
Okay.
Well,
There's a sheriff in Florida that says, you point a gun at one of my officers, you just got yourself a free ride to the morgue.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to say that, and I admire a sheriff that will say that.
Yeah, you do
Don't point guns at cops.
Yeah. You have training at Timberline.
We do.
Where you simulate quick response to
somebody pointing a gun at you.
Absolutely. We saw that tragically in Flagstaff, where an officer actually let someone go back in the house, remember years ago?
Yes.
And they came back with a gun. And that officer was trying to resolve a situation. And
peacefully and
killed.
Cooperatively and lost his life as a result.
Yeah. All right. And we're going over some top news picks here with Olivia. Another one.
Nursing school teaches three-year-olds to know if they're transgender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
University of Arizona Nursing School teaches nursing students that patients as young as 3 years old know they are transgender.
Oh, yeah. Remember when you were three, Rob?
No, I don't.
Okay, but go on, Olivia.
Yeah, it's like, who remembers that vividly and can make, like, choices logically, you know?
How about even understand the concept of transgender? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, this has been a big controversy because somebody, I think it was a Libs of TikTok or something, released this video of this... U of A class where they're teaching the nurses that, hey, at 3 years, they know you can talk to them. You know, they can basically decide. The school came out, though, and they said, no, the college does not have a policy or position on the issue and does not integrate this type of training in education. Well, what was that they called on Libs of TikTok, you know, the video that came out? At 3 years old, if you can decide your gender,
well,
you should be able to vote.
Maybe a bigger question, too, is if a three-year-old child comes into an ER and a nurse asks them, you know, what's wrong, what difference does it make what sex they identify as? How are you going to treat them any differently? Because this is a medical treatment that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to get it into their heads at the earliest age possible that, hey, you got a choice in this matter as to which gender you are. So, yeah, let's start pumping them at 3 years old. But hey, like I said, you might as well. So three-year-olds should be able to decide if they can smoke, drink,
apparently.
Vote,
yeah,
drive a car. They're going to be out there driving cars and stuff, right? That's three is now the new age of...
Anybody that objects, we should make sure they're armed so they can, you know, enforce their will as three-year-olds.
It's unreal. Finally, and this one is, this is a good one that has to do with fire.
Football team bus fire. Muggion.
Yeah, it's our education system.
Hi, football team smoked the competition. I don't watch football, okay? Friday night, 66-0, but we're a little too hot. On their way home to Heber, the bus caught fire on I-17. Luckily, no one was injured.
Yeah, they cranked it 66 to nothing, and the bus got torched. Wow. Yeah, and they luckily no one hurt. So that's good news. All right, that's our news roundup. The ones that I felt worthy.
Yep.
Of talking about. Talk with. If you've got something that you're hitting on that you want us to, you know, that you're like, hey, you need to cover this one, email and Olivia will pick it up. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Let's get to a couple of comments from the giveaway, which we'll do here after the break. We'll actually do last month's giveaway. I'm a little late. Where are we? September 11th.
I know.
I'm 11 days past the August giveaway.
We're getting to it.
It's been chaotic. And we've been doing a lot of stuff. Go ahead, hit the first comment.
One from Newt. Dear Jeff, electric vehicles are all about control, not the environment. Not only are there cameras and listening, tracking occurring at all time, but they are all able to be shut off remotely. Mm. With an estimated life of 8 years, who would buy a used one? Here is a short YouTube video.
Yeah, I didn't follow that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree on the electric side, but I think that the technology is also filtering in on the gas side too, though. Any technology that's on those electric cars, they're tracking on every vehicle, no matter the drivetrain at this point.
Elise rented a car a couple of weeks ago. When we turned it in, I broke down the mileage, took it into the desk, said, okay, you know, here's the keys. You want the mileage? She says, oh, no, the car's already communicated that to us.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, okay.
It's all being tracked.
Another little tidbit today in the news. Secretary Granholm, our Secretary of Transportation, a couple of weeks ago made a big deal about taking this car tour in electric cars around the Washington, D.C. area. She visited several different states. Well, this was a very, very carefully, as you can imagine, mapped out route to make sure that the electric vehicles that they and the press pool behind them were driving would have access to the charging stations when it was necessary. The problem was other people wanted to charge their cars too. And at one of the charging stations, her staff parked a gasoline-driven car in a EV charging spot to hold it so that when she got there, she would be able to charge. Well, the people that were waiting to charge were a family of three with a pregnant wife in the car and had to run their air conditioning and ended up calling the police on the charging station.
Yeah.
Because, and basically what they all said then was, you know, road trips in electric vehicles is not a good plan. Yeah. Teslas, probably okay. Anything else? Nah.
When you're having to, like, specifically map it out, I mean, like, maybe there's a problem there.
Yeah. Hopefully I can make it.
Maybe that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, hopefully I can make it there. If I don't make it there, I'm literally stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I can't even take, like a gas can to go get a couple gallons.
Another anecdote here. So we have charging stations that are powered by our solar panels at our store. We're the first place to charge when you come south from Page on 89. We got a call last week from a woman who was getting dangerously low on her charge and wanted to know if we would be willing to stay open late so she could plug in and charge up enough to get into town. And I said, okay, you know, we'll see what we can do when you get here. Well, she turned on Copeland, you know, right there, the corner, 100 feet from our building. Instead of into our parking lot, and that's where her car died.
It died there?
It died right there.
And were you able?
No.
You can't push these.
Couldn't do anything.
Yeah. You know, when Bruce...
She had to wait an hour and a half for AAA to send a tow truck.
To tow it to your lot? Or somewhere else?
I wasn't
like you're going to go to the Walmart or something down or wherever the charging port is. You know, Bruce Sidlinger had his Tesla breakdown right out here from the studio.
Yeah.
And it shut down, and the tow truck guy actually, and ironically enough, he towed, because my gas vehicles break too. Don't get me wrong. My Titan broke, and this same tow truck driver actually towed my truck. So he's like, oh, now you got an electric car. He's like, no, it's a buddy of mine. And anyway, he had a hard time. He had to really drag it up. They had to put things under the wheel to move it, because it's not like a gas car. You put it in neutral or something and you can push.
Yeah.
You like a gas car, you would have, well, you wouldn't have, if you had gas pumps in Timberline, you get behind it, put it in neutral, a couple guys push it over there.
Sure.
Right. But you can't do that. Honestly. Nope. They should come up with some kind of release mechanism. I'm surprised they don't have some way. Hey, can we manually move this without some tow truck or whatever? Interesting. Yeah. Not the vehicle at this point that you're going to be touring around the country in. So, I agree with Newt. This is all about control. And wait till the central bank digital currency. They really want to control you there. Okay. Give us another one.
From Richard. Jeff, after seeing that kid in Colorado get kicked out of class for the Gadsden flag patch last week, it got me thinking, Conservatives fly that flag and keep getting trod on. It's time for conservatives to consider adopting an even older U.S. flag, the Bedford flag. Written on this flag is
Vince Tuamori. That's French, I guess. I don't know. Or Latin. It's Latin.
I don't know exactly how to pronounce that, but meaning win or die.
Okay.
Conservatives need to realize if we don't win by holding off the climate cultists, proponents of corrupting kids, and the CBDC, our way of life will be taken from us. Mm. Also, Olivia's commentary is better than yours.
Richard knows that you control the giveaway.
Yeah, there you go.
He's trying to get bonus points
dig in there.
Okay. That was the patch where the kid wore to it. A school, and they said no. Oh no, the administrators have flipped out about it.
They
had a patch on his shirt or jacket or something like that, and it got reversed.
But you know what concerned me about that story? The entire school administration didn't understand what the Gadsden flag was.
It was a racist
and where
flag.
It originated from.
Yeah, they're clueless.
No one in the entire school system there apparently got that. And even when the mother of this kid said, "No, you're wrong. This is what that flag is about." They didn't go there.
They still don't want to go there because they see it and they think like Tea Party. They think the right because the Tea Party used that.
Right equals bad.
Yeah. Right equals bad. But they don't know the history of anything. That's the problem with erasing the history in this country.
It is.
Taking down the statues, taking down the memorials, even if you may disagree with some of them.
Yep.
You erase that history and you're doomed to repeat it.
And our history is like who we are and how we got here. You don't know what that is, then who are we? How are we a country anymore?
Yeah. What was the struggles you faced?
Of random people.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Another bumper sticker there, Lydia.
And it's ridiculous to assume that everything in our history would be correct and right and perfect.
Yeah.
Of course we made mistakes. Of course
it's like,
there were flaws.
Like anybody's history?
That's part of growing.
Yes.
Yeah. Did we have things that are unjust? Yeah. We're having them now, too.
Sure.
I mean, that's growing every day. All right. If you want to get on the show, I'd love your comments. Get those in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com, and Olivia will share them. And even if, Richard didn't get in there just because of the bonus points there.
It is a random drawing.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that when we come back. Random drawing on the August giveaway. And we'll have a new one coming up here pretty soon. I think, Rob, you might get in on this one too. So appreciate everyone who's been putting in for this. If you've been waiting for a giveaway, let's do that. Are you going to draw it? Are you going to have Rob do it? Or do you do it?
I want to. I have raffle drawings all the time. I can't draw it because then it would look biased. So
okay.
Here, I'm unbiased.
You want to hold that? Oh, you can do it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is for, I forgot, $50 from Gettles High Desert Mechanical.
And $50 from somewhere else.
Sportsman's Bar and Grill.
That's right.
We were a little light last month.
I kind of hope I win.
Yeah. Rob's in there 10 times. We'll beef it up next month a little bit more, so we'll get to that real soon. But thank you to both Sportsman's Bar and Grill, and as they're whispering something over there.
Yeah, dark secrets we're keeping from
Gettles
you.
Gettles High Desert Mechanical. I really appreciate them putting these in. And Gettles, if you need to get your HVAC system fixed,
it's starting to get cold.
Yeah, tune-up time this time of year. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They've worked on my heater, my HVAC system right here in Flagstaff, and I appreciate the great work they did. And they kept it going. This is an older unit. This thing weighs as much as a brand-new electric car. It's like 6,000 pounds. But call them if you need service, 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. By the way, in today's show notes, I have our sponsors listed with links to their websites, including Gettles High Desert Mechanical and Sportsman's Bar and Grill, where you can get some great food as well. All right. Go ahead. Draw.
Big drawing here now. All right, I'm shaking the hat. Mixing them all up. I'm going to draw one of these pieces of paper out of here. And the big winner is Rob Wilson.
Totally rigged. It's like a Cuban election here.
Kurt is our winner.
Kurt. Hey, good job.
Congratulations, Kurt.
Wait, Newt.
Oh, Newt.
Newt?
Yeah,
Newt. Oh, Newt. Okay, Newt is the winner.
Newt and comments a lot.
Yeah, Newt was so the... And you can enter more than once, so we have like a once... Was it a once per week thing that we're doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, once per
week. Newt was the guy who commented on the electric... The electric cars.
Yeah, I read that.
This might be a different one, though.
Yeah, this is a different one, because...
Yeah.
He entered a lot. Yeah. But, okay.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Climate change.
They don't let Olivia discourage you by saying you entered a lot. Because we have most people enter like three or four times. So you got to be in it to win it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. What do you got going on out there? So we talked about it earlier. You got Camp Savage. That's going to, you got a couple months going there before
Lots
you
of
get
training
into
opportunities
snow,
coming
snow
on.
Shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have Liberty Safes. You know, despite all the controversy, a Liberty Safe is a huge and good investment.
We address that in hour one of the show. Yep. And, listen back, but big controversy.
Simple
there.
As taking the serial number sticker off the safe and problem solved.
Yeah. Well, unless you're going to go buy one, some old one. Like from the 1920s, right. The old dial one, you know, that's real heavy, and it's like there's no record of that thing.
That's
right?
A fact.
Yeah. So, all right,
we can change the combination for you if you already own one.
You can do that, huh? So you can any say even the digital ones.
Yep.
What's better, digital or the old dial?
Well, digitals are much easier to access, especially in.
But is that easier to access for a criminal?
No.
Is it the same locking mechanism? It's just a different mechanism.
The mechanical part of the lock is identical between both of them.
Okay.
It's just an electronic release on it instead of the rotary dial combination.
Okay, so you actually know how to do that?
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I'm certified by Liberty to change either. I can convert it from mechanical to electrical, or I can. Change either of them.
Or I presume that if someone has a different kind of safe sitting in their house, they might be able to go to a locksmith or something. Is this something that's...
Most of them have Sergeant Greenleaf locks.
I don't know what that means.
That's the manufacturer.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's the same as Liberty.
So they're all using the same.
I could do pretty much most of them, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Remember that. And hey, we got some Dove with a shotgun. Owen's 410 was from Timberline. And Owen was out there. He was... You get three rounds, you know. You got to put the plug in there.
Yep.
I didn't have to on that one, but my 20 gauge had a plug on. But he was out there. He was popping them. We got a few. Dove season ends, I think, this Friday. Really good. If you never
Congrats.
Had.
Yeah.
Fun
stuff.
Good stuff. If you can get your kids doing stuff like that.
That's family building.
I helped cook them.
She cooked them.
Did she?
Yeah. She cooked them. She didn't. She might go when we do geese.
Does it taste like chicken?
My bow.
Yeah, that's a hard shot.
No, it's really good.
It's more like steak. Yeah, it's more like steak. So, all right, Mark out with us tomorrow. I appreciate everyone subscribing to the podcast. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Olivia. See you guys soon. Take care.